Let's turn to the book of Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 19. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 19. The book of Ruth is after the book of Judges. There are four chapters in the book. So we are going to spend 4 hours. Each chapter, we are going to study about 1 hour about a chapter. And chapter 1, verse 19. And her mother-in-law said to her, this is chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 19. So the two of them went on till they came to Bethlehem. If you see the Chinese translation, 两人独行, two walk in unity or two walk together. We try to simplify it. Two of them walk together to Bethlehem. In the Bible, there are many two walk together. 两人同行, there are many. For example, the last section we talk about Abraham and his son, right? Who was the son, name of the son? Isaac, right? Two walk together to where? The Mount of Moriah. There is very deep meaning inside, because each people walk in their heart is different. But two can walk together. It's not easy, right? And Priscilla and Aquila, you can see this couple, two walk together, right? Elijah and Elisha, two walk together. They are co-workers. And Noah and God walk together. Enoch and God walking together. In the book of, I think in Amos, say, if we are not in the same heart, how can you walk together? Right? If you are not in the same heart, how can you walk together? One want to turn to the left, other one want to turn to the right. There's no way you can walk together. Even if you walk in the same direction, one want to walk faster, the other one want to walk slower. There's no way you can walk together. So in order to walk together, the two persons must have the same mind, same heart. And that is the most difficult part. These two persons walk together. The one is a mother-in-law, the other one is the daughter-in-law. Two walk together. Especially in this generation, this is the real picture we can see in our daily life. Really, this is a great challenge to us. When we think about beauty, what come up your mind? When you think about beauty, what come up your mind? Right? When you think about beauty, we always think about beautiful clothes, right? A handsome or beautiful countenance, something like that, right? Beauty, or the painting, a beautiful drawing. So everybody have different favor about their beauty. That is in a material sense. Sometimes you can see the beauty in a different sense. For example, if you are learning the literature, if you like to read a book, always you can enjoy the beauty of a person. So sometimes the person who interested in literature, they feel that those who learn the scientific field, the people learn the scientific field, they are so inhuman because they don't know how to enjoy the beauty of the person. all your mind is something mechanical. The beauty, if you see an old couple, 80 years old, and they walk in the park, and hold hand by hand, and slowly walk, well, that's a beauty, though. Beauty. They can get married 50, 60 years, they still love each other, and they can walk together. That's a kind of beauty. The same thing, when you read chapter 1, talk about Naomi and Ruth, two walk together. That's kind of beauty. Without virtue inside, it's impossible. They can walk together. I think learning the book of Ruth is very essential for us. Not only think about our relation with God, because this is in some way it tries to typify the relation between man and God, but also it is trying to imply how to live a very harmonious and blessed family life. In chapter 1, I think I try to discuss with you the decision making of Ruth or Naomi. We don't have whiteboard, so I just use talk. There is an article. The topic of the article is try to give a reflection. Try to give a reflection about the book of Ruth. Okay. I write in Chinese, somebody help me to translate into English. How to say this? Loving mother? Okay, how to say this? It's different, no? Liang. Liang is what? Good mother? Huh? Virtuous mother? Oh, that guy, we'll start from here. Jiao qi, how do you translate? Beauty is not beauty. Jiao means very cute and, whiny? Can we say loving wife? No? How to say? I don't know how to translate. Dojo? I don't know. Hey, who can say?
Xianqi. Xianqi is prudent, right? Prudent wife. You can write?
Loving mother, good mother. Loving wife? Prudent wife? Okay. Whatsoever, it's very difficult. So some people try to say Ruth, Naomi.
Naomi. Okay.
Naomi is a loving mother, but he is not a good mother. 不是良母啊。She has abundant love, but she is not a good mother because her love bring her family to wrong direction. The other way, Naomi is a 娇妻, a loving wife, loves the husband very much, but is not a prudent wife. Why? Because when her husband tried to make a decision, and the decision is wrong, because of love, she followed, right? And without making anything, remedy.
Oh.
That's the article talk about this Naomi, but on the way, while we are studying the book of Ruth, you can see whether you agree with somebody's viewpoint. But to me, it seems in a certain sense, it makes sense. So you want to be a loving mother, it's good, but you should be a good mother. You want to be a loving wife, it's good, but you should be a prudent wife. Both, you need that. If you only emphasize on the loving side, sometimes it's not good enough. Okay. Now we go into chapter 1. And from the process, we try to learn how to make decision. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. What is the process of your decision making? What is the process of your decision making? How do you make decision? And this is very important. Why? Why this is very important? Because in the book of Galatians chapter 6 say, whatever you plant, you are going to harvest, right? You make a decision, sooner or later you are going to face the consequence. So whether it's a good decision or not, maybe in that right moment, you cannot tell. But when the consequence come out, then you can see whether that's a good decision or not. So from the book of Ruth, you can see that the decision making of Ruth from bad one to the good one. Because of the bad decision, so she suffered. And that one, because she learned from the bad experience, she tried to make it right. She make a right decision, and she harvest the good result of that decision. Especially, most of you are young, a lot of essential decisions waiting for you to do. When you are in like my age, we don't have 2 years to decide. You are on the track, just like the train. Right? Keep on moving until you retire. When you retire, you just keep on waiting the day to come. That's all. No so-called major decision, but for you have a lot of decisions. Which school I'm going to study? Where I'm going to live? Where I'm going to work? Whom I'm going to get married? All these are major issues in your life that absolutely will bring you the consequence in your life. So how are you going to make a decision? I think we can learn from the book of Ruth. If we read the chapter 1, verse 1, in the days when the judge ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Okay, now from verse 1, try to figure out what was the factor affect Naomi's decision? How did Naomi make a decision?
Chapter 1, verse 1, right?
Naomi make decision based on need. And this need is material.
Okay.
This need is material. Oh. And what's wrong with this decision? Let us think about. One thing very common is, if I'm hungry, I want to have something to eat. So I want to make a decision, right? I want to buy this, I want to buy that to eat. If I don't have money, maybe you make another decision. I go to the store and steal some food, some bread to eat, right? In order to fulfill your needs, maybe you will make a decision which is against the law, right? To fulfill your decision, to fulfill your needs. And then when you make that decision, you are facing the consequence. Maybe you will be caught by police and you will be sentenced in the jail. Oh. But when Naomi tried to make a decision, she was not making a decision against the law of that country. It's obvious she made a decision against the will of God. She make decision based on her needs, but that decision is against the will of God. Why? Why we know that decision against the will of God? If we let example two things, Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who are in heaven, right? First you have to make sure the object you are praying to. You are not praying to the air, right? You are praying to your Father in heaven. Father in heaven. You are not asking something from your friend. If you ask too much, your friendship will be in jeopardized. All right? You are not asking something from your creditor. Your credit card has a limit. It cannot go over the limit. You are asking from not only your biological father. Your biological father is limited. The income is limited. You are asking from a father in heaven, unlimited father, who has unlimited grace and power, who can fulfill unlimited his purpose. Okay. And after we make sure the object of our prayer, he is in Father, he loves us more than our Father loves us, then what is the next sentence? Hallowed be thy name. Then thy kingdom come. And then thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us day our daily bread. Right? So usually we ask God to fulfill our needs. We put in the first priority. Right? You kneel down, oh God, heal my sickness. Oh God, let me get a job. Oh God, solve my difficulty, right? We usually put in the first priority. But if you see the Lord's Prayer, how does the sequence come out? First, hallowed be thy name. First, we have to ask God that we can glorify his name. And thy kingdom come. We have to ask God, help us then. His kingdom can be fulfilled in our daily life. And we have to ask God that his will can be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Because God's will has been fulfilled. Angel was so diligent, so faithful to carry out God's will. But in this world, not so. A lot of people just take God's will as some kind of reference. Some kind of suggestion. It's not a commandment. So Lord's Prayer, the first three items we are praying to, actually we are praying that God can help us so that we can fulfill the need of God.
Oh, there are two kinds of need. Huh? One is the need of God, the other one is the need of I.
Oh. We pray we can fulfill the need of God. Oh. His name can be glorified, His kingdom can come, His will can be done. After His need can be fulfilled, then we come back to ask to fulfill our own needs. And that is a sequence, and that's what God wants us to have. So every time we kneel down and we recite Lord's Prayer, what does that mean, recite Lord's Prayer? So you see some of the young kids or some congregation recite Lord's Prayer really fast. Our Father in heaven, who hallowed be thy name. You know, one minute, they squeeze everything, finish, because they feel that they want to finish the service sooner. I go out to have refreshment. But actually, the Lord's Prayer should be recited slowly and loudly, and use your heart, recite it. Hallowed be thy name. While you are recite slowly, try to remind us, what does that mean to me? Well, it's right. Huh? Sometimes in your family, if you have your own family service, so-called family altar, you're together with your family member and sing a few hymns and share some spiritual insight of the Bible and then pray for 15 minutes. And at the end of your own family altar, you ask your own kids, let's recite Lord's Prayer slowly. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. There are 2-3 seconds in between. Think about what I'm asking about God. My daily life, and asking, Lord's will can be fulfilled in my heart, in my life. Thy kingdom, God can be my king and control me, in control of my life, guide my life. So fulfill God's needs first and fulfill our needs first. And when Naomi make a decision, move to that Moab, right? Actually, she put her needs in front of the needs of God. Why did we say so? Because from the time of Abraham, God's will is for them to dwell in the land of Canaan. So the land of Canaan was the promised land, a land filled with honey and milk. So today when you see the Israel, right, fight with the Arabian country, how do Israel define their territory? They open the Old Testament. According to Old Testament, from here to here, this is our country, this is our boundary, right? This is a peace, so-called filled with honey and milk. And God wanted them to dwell there. So when Abraham went into the Canaan, he encountered famine. A land filled with honey and milk and encountered famine. So by the instinct of human being, if you encounter difficulty, you want to solve the difficulty, right? And if you want to solve the difficulty, the most easiest way is move to Egypt, right? Because Egypt has abundance of the food and harvest. And that was not the way God want him to do. God did not want him to solve his problem by the way against God's will. Anyway, Abraham do it, right? And you see the consequence, it is not very good, right? Now, it's the turn of Isaac. The son faced the same problem. There was a famine. And the son tried to copy the father. When my father goes into the Egypt, let me follow him. That's the most easiest way. Because you have so many family members, right? Every day there's a challenge, there's a pressure to you, especially when you are a husband, you are the head of the family, right? When your children are crying, your heart is aching. My children is crying, not because he did not want to have rice, he want to have spaghetti, not because of that. My children are crying because he has no food, heart is aching. So at that right moment, he just tried to move to Egypt, and God appealed to him, don't do that, stay here. God is a living God. How come God allowed the famine happened and God did not allow him to go to Egypt. That is what we think about. How come God said this is a den filled with honey and milk, and right now a great famine happened here? That is a discipline of the faith. That is a test of the faith. So Isaac, right? He decide to stay in that piece of land. Every day the life is a suffering. Every day the life is a challenge. But the second year, what happened? His field harvest hundredfold. Hundredfold. Not tenfold. Hundredfold is a miracle. If you had the experience going to the rice field, when the rice is almost ripe, right? The rice, the last part of the rice always was like a head bowed down because of the grain inside, right? You see the rice field, if all the end is facing upwards, then that's a bad year. Because the grain will bow down, right? And hundredfold, which means that head is almost reached to the ground, too heavy, hundredfold, 100 times of the weight, hundredfold. It's a miracle, because Isaac tried to make a decision to please God, follow God's will. So Naomi, during the time of famine, her husband tried to solve the problem. They live in Bethlehem. What is the original meaning in Bethlehem? House bread, right? The palm of Liang Shi Zi Chang, and the palm of the grain, right? Which means Bethlehem is a place can have a very good harvest. So right now there's a famine. Obviously, it's a test from God. And where was Moab? Moab is a place a lot of Israelites commit sexual immorality. When they reach to the border of the Canaan, the woman, the lady of Moab, enticed them to commit adultery, right? Fornication. And then God was so angry about them, and they killed a lot of them. And later on, there was a Phinehas, right? A person. He witnessed that there was an Israelite, a young man, commit fornication with a Moab woman, right? He used a knife to pierce this two person. And what happened? God stopped his angry. Because whatever he did fulfilled God's justice. So Moab is a land of immorality. And Naomi is a chosen people moving from the bound of the grain to a place of immorality. That's totally against the will of God. And that is the stem of the problem. So what does that mean to us? Live by faith, not by sight. Can anybody explain what does that mean? Live by faith, not by sight. I myself personally, I heard quite a few times the members complain. I'm married by faith. How come my marriage is on more rules break up? Right. I'm married by faith. How come my marriage have problem? I think quite often it's a misunderstanding of what does that mean. Married by faith, not by sight. Okay. So what does that mean, live by faith, not by sight? If we use the Abraham example, when he was encountering the famine, what does that mean, live by faith? By faith means the faith of God's provision. The faith that God's will is the best. What does that mean by sight? By sight means by your eye see. Here is no food. And when I move there, there's a food. So let's go move there. Let's go by sight, not by faith. On the contrary, Isaac, You look into Isaac. When he encountered the famine, he did by faith. What does it mean that by faith, not by sight? By sight, Egypt had a lot of food, but the Canaan had no food. So if he did by faith, he is going to follow the pattern of his father. But he did by faith means here is no food. But because God want me to live here, so I live here. Not by what I see, but what I believe. That's called by faith. Okay. And nowadays, let us think about something. For example, one day you graduate from the school, right? What was the first thing you're going to do? You're going to get a job, right? If you are graduating from very prestigious school, maybe you are very choosy. Oh, this is no good, that no good, that no good, right? Everything is no good, right? But in this time, almost recession, everything is no good. The company is no good too. Maybe you cannot find a job. When you cannot reach to a point you cannot find a job, you are so desperate, right? And then you say, well, no matter what, as long as I have a job, it's okay. Even I serve as secretary, it's okay. Right? You become desperate. So we just use a job, for example. Right now you graduate, you want to get a job. Maybe there is a job which you have to relocate to a very far away place, and then it's very difficult for you to attend the service. And there's another job very close to the church, but the pay is not too much. Which one are you going to choose? This is called by faith or by sight. If you choose by faith, which means you are responsible to God, you will choose a job close to the church. If you did by sight, it's your desire to put first. A lot of money, so I move to a place far away from the church. So that will make a tremendous difference. Okay. Even there are two jobs very close to the church. One of the jobs maybe require you to work 60 hours, a lot of pay. And another job maybe require you to work 40 hours, but less pay. Which job are you going to choose? You are going to choose by faith or by sight. If you choose by sight, means I'm going to work 60 hours so that I can buy a better house in a better location, have a better car, have a better vacation, have better food, everything is better. Because you have higher income. But you have to think about the consequence. What is the consequence? If you choose by sight, every week you work 60 hours. You know, human beings, we are limited. Limited time, limited energy, limited our heart. You spend 60 hours. Where comes the time to work for God? Where comes the time for spiritual cultivation? Where comes the time you can take care of your family properly, especially when you have the young kids? Especially if two of your family are all working, the couple are all working. Also, if you did by sight, in one side you can be very good, but in a spiritual aspect, you are going to suffer. Definitely you are going to suffer. So are you going to decide by faith or by sight? Another example, a previous example. If you move very far away from the church, so far as what we observe, there are two possibilities. The first possibility is you move very far away from the church because you go there with a mission. I want to build a church there. That's good. You can move. You can move to the place of the Nevada desert or somewhere. Right. Nobody there. You move there. Build a church. But not so many people have so strong faith. Okay. In the 1980s, I think there are 2-3 families study in Phoenix. Every spiritual conversation, they drove to Garden Grove. Everybody feel that it's too long for them. And Sabbath, they listen to the tape. So everybody encouraged them to move to close to Southern California. And they did not do so. And eventually we found out that they have another intention. So later on, they purchased a chapel. and build a church in Phoenix. Oh, so this is a good ending, because they did far away from church with good intention. But on the other way around, you can see other members who did very far away from the church, and they don't have that kind of intention. Originally, they were in their own hometown. They are very fervent church member, very fervent, even the leader of the church. A lot of essential work have been entrusted to them. But they did very far away from the church. Maybe the first Sabbath. Yes, Sabbath, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, after 1 month. Right? Shorten. Friday sunset cut to Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon. Or 2-3 months later go, well, Sabbath is day of rest. Let's sleep a little bit late. Right? From 11 to 3. And then, after a few months later, well, nobody here, right? Worshiping God, heart is more important. So as long as you have heart, God know it. So we have service on afternoon. That's enough. Well, another few months later, God know our heart, right? Now, Sabbath, we gather together, pray, and then everybody just rest. So gradually, your face just lie backwards and on and on and backwards. And eventually, their children, not believer, even don't know how to pray. So sometimes we visit this family, we feel very sad. Materially speaking, they are way too do. But when you visit them, you talk with them, all your conversation is nothing to do with spirituality. All your conversation is something in the world. That is a reflection. Their mind is not in God at all. Their mind already totally in the world. And you may come and pray before you leave. The children don't know how to pray. While you're saying hallelujah, the kids are chastising the kids. Why you don't pray? Sometimes this kind of incidents happen quite often. Then we are asking, is that God? Is that God who arranged them to there? If we read the book of Ruth, we understand sometimes it's upon our own choice. But when we are making the decision, we have to think whether we decide by faith or we decide by sight. That's very important. Now we come back to the book of Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephraim, right, from the Bethlehem in Judah, and they went into the country of Moab. So we just mentioned that. What was the function of being a wife? If you read the Proverbs chapter 31, the prudent wife, three important characters for a prudent wife. Right? Can anybody mention three from the Proverbs chapter 31? The first one, very diligent from the morning to the evening. The second one, very kind, always speak the kind words. The third one, very wise, the prudent woman, a three characteristic, very diligent, very kind, and very wise. So when the husband make a decision, Naomi did not do anything to stop him. So she is a loving wife, but probably not a prudent wife. And she is a loving mother because the children suffer, right? The children suffer. So move to Egypt, to Moab, can solve the problem. But she was not a prudent mother without thinking about the consequence of making such kind of decision. Okay, and then Ruth chapter 1, verse 3. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. And these took the Moabite wives, and the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. Verse 5. And both Mahlon and the Chilion died. So the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. So when the event evolved to verse 5, you can see a family has three widows. Naomi and two daughter-in-law. Why? Because that decision was not made, was not pleased God. God was not pleased with that decision. So they were not living under the blessing of God. So they had their own intention, but without the blessing of God, it seems there are some complication happen, some side effect happen to them. So how wonderful it is for us to live under the blessing of God. If we need the blessing of God during the time of difficulty, we have to make a decision to satisfy God's heart instead of our own desire. Deep by faith, not by sight. And then chapter 1 verse 6, they are planning to return. And the reason they are planning to return, I think there are two reasons. The first reason is chapter 1 verse 6. And then she started with her daughter-in-law and to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. She heard that God started to bless their own hometown, and compared with her life living in there. So she started to think about moving back. The same thing, the prodigal son. Do you remember the prodigal son? When he went to take care of the swine, right, and eat the food of the swine, and stay together with swine, and he started to think, oh, I stay here. I am almost die. In my father's house, there are lots of good place. So when he make a comparison, and he start to change, and he want to come back to the father, and reconcile with the father. Naomi tried to make a change, because when she start to compare the situation of the hometown and the situation now, she want to return. So what does that mean? If you look into the church member experience, really what David said was quite right. From he was young until he was old, he never see a descendant of the righteous person beg the food from others. What does that mean? A righteous person, not only the righteous person, including the descendant, God is going to take care of them. God is going to take care of them. That's what David experienced. In the church, we can see so many experiences too, heard so many testimony too. So from a lot of brother and sister testimony, we know we have to return to Bethlehem, return to solve our problem in God's way. By doing so, we will receive more blessing from God after our difficulty disappear. Just like keeping the Sabbath is one of the examples. Time is up, and this afternoon we are going to resume. We still have three sections to complete the book of Ruth. And let's pray.